across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wiscommon Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's a beautiful day up north, a little overcast, a little chilly isn't the right word when it's, you know, what, 63 degrees here, but there's a north wind in there. So it's, you'll want to stay in the sleeping bag as long as you can if you're in the tent until the sun comes out at some point here. Green Bay has 66 degrees, some light rain, a little fog and mist up north at Hayward at 61, Waukesha coming in at 63 degrees on this Monday, June 26th. Here's what's on tap this morning, and it is a busy one. First off, there's some more national attention, and not the good kind, for some school districts in the suburbs. National attention for making what could charitably be called the outrageous and morally bankrupt claim that they need to ban rainbows and anti-racism and anti-bigotry signs and symbols as being, get this, divisive. Also this weekend, there was the one-year anniversary of the right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court removing women's health care rights. Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us to talk about a busy couple of days for her. Also, now that we know officially how Republicans in the legislature want to squander most of the $7 billion budget surplus for tax cuts skewed to the very rich, we'll review all of the many things the surplus could have been used for, but Republicans opted for $0 for many of them in order to help millionaires. Each millionaire in Wisconsin is going to get an extra $30,000 a year put into their pocket after the legislature votes on the state budget, perhaps by the end of this week. In our 7 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by two longtime school officials about how public school advocates are hoping to convince legislators this week to amend a bipartisan school funding package that was passed last week and does help public schools, but provides a whole lot of help to the voucher schools that help drain resources away from your local neighborhood school. Later, we'll be joined by childcare providers hoping to convince legislators this week to fix one of those zeros in the Republican budget plan and save a program that's keeping childcare centers from closing their doors. All along the way, if you have questions, comments, input, 844-967-2789 is the studio number. The email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, if you're following us on social media on Facebook, you can leave a comment underneath the live video feed, and we'd love to put those comments up on screen as we get them in. Aaron Zommers is in Madison right now, where I assume it's kind of a cloudy and not as warm a morning as we had last week, right?
That's exactly right, Pat, and I'm okay with that.
It was a really good week. You know, it was a nice summer week, but you know, if it was like that all the time, the lawn was getting mighty yellow over here, but after a good inch plus of rain over the past couple of days, I mean, it's almost all green again. It's amazing what just a good little soaking rain can do. We needed it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, definitely. And before that, it was a little bit toasty for my tastes.
Yeah, and it'll come back. It's summer. That's what these things do. But also the rain enabled me to take care of some work in the house. Again, I'm still putting parts of the house back together, and that's allowed me to go through things like as we were putting filing cabinets back and such. I haven't weeded those out in forever, and so I threw out all kinds of old, billing statements, instruction books for things we don't have anymore. Some things we still have, but we don't use them anymore. Right here, and oh my gosh, it's breaking the box already. In this box is, I don't know, maybe 10 old cell phones. Here's an old Palm Pilot. Oh, here's an original iPad, one of the very first iPods, the white ones. Here's a lime green little flip phone that clearly was when our girls were teenagers. Here's an actual flip phone. We still have this thing.
Nice.
From going way back when. Here's another Palm Pilot that I use that all the time in the legislature. You can see the little antenna sticking out on the top here. This thing looks like a cassette tape. It's actually a jet pack. It's like a hotspot which I needed from time to time traveling around northern Wisconsin. Here's a Samsung. I thought we were an all Apple family, but we had to switch that in the Caribbean. Oh, here's kind of an iPhone 5 that's still sitting here. This must be the iPhone 7. Yep, because I'm up to, oh, look at this, a little mini iPod in a nice sharp blue. Can you imagine what songs might still be on this thing if you can even get it to work anymore?
Maybe some Jimmy Buffett.
I'm sure there's Jimmy Buffett on there. This might be an iPhone 6. Look, another Palm Pilot with the little keyboard, you know, the little tiny buttons that you had to click. I still have all these. I don't know what to do.
Hey, that iPod Classic might be worth something if it works. I have no idea, but it might be.
Oh, I'm sure it works. You know, you upgrade, and I shouldn't put these back in the box because it's just going to break the box again. But that's the kind of weekend it was going through, finding, receipts for things, and, you know, whether you still own them or not, and what furniture cost, you know, back 28 years ago when we first moved here. And it's almost funny, you know, and it's almost depressing when you think, oh my God, I used to think that was so expensive. What you would give to get a bedroom set for that amount of money today. But anyway, it was a fun trip down memory lane, but now I've got so much shredding to do that I'm sure of all the things that I have that I don't use anymore. I'm sure a shredder will be one of them, because I am sure I'm going to be wearing this one out. Let's take a break. We'll look at some of the headlines that will get our week started on this Monday morning, a cloudy, but still a nice Monday morning here up north. We'll be back. You know, the group is Berlin, but did you know the lead singer's name is Terry Nunn? Terry turns 62 years old today. We will have plenty of music birthdays, other anniversaries and such coming up in just a little bit. First in sports, Owen Miller for the Brewers hit a tie-breaking double in the 10th inning against his former team, the Cleveland Guardians, and the Brewers defeated the Guardians 5-4 on Sunday. I would say it was a pretty series. The starting pitching has to do a better job of not giving up like one big inning. The bats have to stop taking so many naps, and defensive miscommunications are starting to creep up. But the Brewers still took 2 out of 3 in Cleveland. Now they're in New York for a 4-game series against the Mets, 6 o'clock our time each evening this week. Then it's off to Pittsburgh next weekend on this 10-game road trip. That'll be followed by a 7-game homestand in all 17 straight games with no days off, all the way until they get to the All-Star break. And as always, in the Fox Valley, hear those Brewers games on Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 and 1100 AM, or News from the Center and Richland Center 107.7 and 1450 AM. This is one of my favorite times of the week. It's when we check in with Sherita Booker from Up North News and find out what y'all been clicking on for videos and graphics and stories on our social media, on Instagram, Facebook, you name it. And Sherita does most of the posting of those stories and then tracks them and tells us what you've been talking about as you see these things. Sherita, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You know, we're into this first full week of summer. And so we wouldn't be the first people that talk about Christmas. Seems to be a thing, you know, people talk about Christmas in July. And I think Hallmark even runs their Christmas movies again. And is it July? Sometime over the summer, they do it. So I guess I'm not terribly surprised that there was a lot of reaction to something that we put up about a Christmas light maze coming to Wisconsin. What's that about?
Yes, it's called Enchant Christmas. So it's the world's largest Christmas light maze, and it's coming to Franklin on November 24th, and it'll run through December 31st. And that'll be at the Franklin Field Ballpark Commons. So not only will it be a light maze, there also will be a ice skating trail and a holiday marketplace. So it'll be fun for the whole family.
See, now that's something you can actually plan, like an event for that and come in. And, you know, again, it being the Milwaukee suburbs, you know, folks will, we may not get people from the full corner of the state coming in, but if it gets you thinking about where to go, for example, one of the comments on there was about La Crosse and what a good display they have. And even here in Little Chippewa Falls in Irvine Park, they decorate the park so nicely at Christmas time. But if it gets people thinking about this sounds just huge, this Christmas light maze, well, now you can start to plan ahead here, right?
Yeah, and they also have early bird tickets available, and that's going on through June 25th. So you get a cheaper price until then.
And that's where you would find, we have a link in there. It looks like enchantchristmas.com would have it, but that's a June 17th post on Facebook that I'm looking at here, where you could learn more. And, you know, just close circuit to the folks putting up something nasty about it being so far away from Christmas. Come on, have a little fun with this and maybe make some plans to go. I especially like posts like this where they don't leave a comment. They just tag another person so that somebody will come see it. And then it always makes me happy when I see that person respond and they say, we should totally plan to go to this thing. It's like using Facebook to set up your social calendar.
Right.
So, all right. Well, let's jump to our next story. And this one is an Instagram post about LGBTQ owned businesses for Pride Month. And what, tell us more about the post and, you know, people's reaction to that.
All right. So we put a map together about 7 LGBTQ owned businesses in Wisconsin to support not just Pride Month, but all of the year. That got a lot of action. And one of the places on there, Pat, was in Chippewa Falls. It was an art studio.
Yes, String Theory. Yes. A wonderful little business there on Bridge Street, which is the main drag in Chippewa Falls. So I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, there's also other places on there where you can eat or have a cocktail. One place was called Walker's Pint in my area, which is in Milwaukee. I guess it's the only lesbian bar in our area. I think I've actually been there like when I was like 21. So it's been some years, but I stepped foot in there before.
Walker's Pint. I assume that's in Walker's Point in that neighborhood.
Yeah. In that neck of the woods. Yeah.
Okay, good. And again, you know, in the case of the comment sections on social media, you know, some of it can be a real cesspool as you look at what some people have to say on LGBTQ for Pride Month. Again, you guys are telling on yourselves, and it's nice to see the support that we're also seeing in the comment section as well. And again, it's not just these 7 businesses, but if it helps you find some places where you might, you know, make some new friends and find some cool new things, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's go to number 3 here, and we're starting to have a little fun with some of these posts. You know, some take a lot of work, you know, the building these graphics and getting all the details, and then some are remarkably easy and get quite a response. And again, it's like I said before, like Gene Rayburn on the Match Game. Well, it's like we're playing the Match Game here. The single best Wisconsin brewery is blank, and in Wisconsin, no shortage of answers, Sharita.
Oh my goodness. We had like over 500 comments on that. And I looked through it and I seen some of the top comments or places were Minocqua Brewing Company and Central Waters. A lot of people like those. So I'm assuming that's coming out on top as one of the, or two of the favorites in Wisconsin.
Oh, without a doubt. And of course, you know, people saying Line and Kugel's here, the Brewing Project in Eau Claire, of course. You've got Fox River Brewing, so many more. I like the very first comment here from Donna says, does there have to be a single best? And no, there doesn't. And look, the comments here aren't, of course, a measure of market share. Otherwise, it would be, you know, all Miller products here. But it is a measure of how strongly people feel when they've got a favorite one that, you know, you want more people to hear about it. And so that's why you saw that perform so well, much like the other one we did. What was it? The best Summerfest food is blank. It's something like that, right?
Yeah, I think it was the best. Yeah, it was the Summerfest food. Yep, people had a lot to say about that also.
Oh, gosh, without a doubt. And so look for us to do more of those about things that are your favorite, either in parts of Wisconsin or all over the state. And we welcome your ideas as well. Send that note to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And I will forward those to Sharita Booker, who will help turn them into posts for you to enjoy as you click through all the other news stories that we do at Up North News. Hey, Sharita, thanks for the visit this morning. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Over the weekend, there was an article in the Boston Globe that helped provide some more of that national attention that Wisconsin could really do without. But we live in an era now, sadly, where some of our school boards are being taken over by bullies. We've talked for the longest time about the problem of bullying in schools, but now the bullying is coming from certain school boards, school board sanctioned bullying of students that they don't like. The Boston Globe story centered on the Arrowhead School District and how a committee in Waukesha County was considering a proposed policy that would ban anything deemed race dividing or promoting a sexual or gender preference from the walls of that high school. If the policy passed as written, Black Lives Matter posters, pride flags, and safe space stickers would all have to be taken down. And as one recent graduate told the Boston Globe reporter, they're trying to erase this culture from their school. A conservative member is quoted in the article, Chris Ferris, who joined the board in 2021, who spoke at the meeting first, saying that in this committee meeting, the signs acknowledging students' differences would further divide them. We're one team, he said. There's no division between genders, sexes, races, anything. I'm sorry. No division? Like you just decided discrimination, bigotry, bullying, even violence doesn't exist? If you just wish away the division, it sounds like when you say we are one team, you want there to be one team and you get to decide the terms of belonging to that team. But getting back to the article, the conservative majority on the Arrowhead Union High School Board of Education has waded further into hot button issues besides signage, rallying around so-called parental rights and transparency. And as other communities see conservatives taking over public school boards, they claim what the article says is, quote, an unmitigated success. But really, is it? Is it a success to drive more young people out of town and out of state? This parental rights you speak of sure sounds like what some parents want. Sounds more like a special interest group if the special interest is bullying kids who don't conform to your preferences. Now, if you wonder where this all started, look no further than Terry Dittrich, the chair of the Waukesha County Republican Party, who said the party was looking to show hyper-engaged supporters of former President Donald Trump that they were advancing conservative causes locally. They created something called WIS Red and went looking for candidates, vetting them. Of course, there's a PAC. It has raised and spent tens of thousands of dollars, in case you were wondering why local school board races have become so expensive and so politicized and away from what's actually needed for public education to thrive. Dittrich says his candidates have entered 426 school board races and have won 381 of them. The new conservatives on the Arrowhead School Board quickly installed some new rules, such as Policy 333, which banned critical race theory, which, again, for everyone in the back, isn't a real thing in public schools. It is instead a convenient excuse to whitewash history and downplay past injustices that have a direct line to today's injustices. Today's injustices like Policy 333. It's a direct line. It runs right through poll taxes, literacy tests, congressional filibusters, and so much faux outrage that anyone would question their motives for wanting to teach about racial justice and inclusion. Then came a fight over Policy 651, a rule that required parents to give explicit written permission for staff to call minor students by different names or pronouns that they had not been assigned at birth. Because, of course, every parent is loving and supportive to their kids when they're having questions or issues or contemplating such changes, right? I mean, no need to have safe spaces if there aren't any parents who are hurtful or even abusive, right? As for the proposal to ban rainbows and anti-racism and safe space signage, the school board recently voted 6-3 to refer the policy to its lawyer for further study, a revised version, which omits direct mention of rainbows, may be up for final approval sometime in July. And as I looked at the comments about this Boston Globe story, I was struck by how many of them said that policies like these are necessary to keep politics out of our schools. The politics is coming in through right-wing extremists who are trying to remove those safe havens that some children don't have at home and need so much. Is this the biggest issue facing public education? No. Is it the biggest issue in the lives of some young people who have mental health or even suicidal thoughts? Yes, it is. And sanctioned school board bullying isn't going to get us any closer to helping those students. And all you're doing is, again, chasing more of the best and brightest out of Wisconsin. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us next. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
There she is. Gretchen Wilson turns 50 years old today. Still one of my favorite country songs of all time. Let's see. Speaking of party girls, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now from somewhere up north, right? Northern Minnesota, up on DeRange?
Yep. I'm way up north.
Oh, way up there. That's the correct pronunciation, by the way, folks. If you're up on DeRange, it's up north. It stretches all the way from northeast to Minneapolis, you know, where you get your Grain Belt Northeast beer. But anyway, Kristen's working over there in part because of the state's 1849 ban that keeps women from having the health care that, you know, they definitely need. Don't need to be second-class citizens, don't need to have their lives put in jeopardy. And yet, Kristen, you know, part of what an OBGYN occasionally has to do is, you know, save a life because of a problem pregnancy. And, you know, so I want to start by doing that, but then we're going to talk about contraception and the ridiculous words of a Wisconsin legislator about contraception and promiscuity and all of those things. But you had put up a tweet over the weekend about basically how, you know, there are times when abortion is necessary to save a life. And look, I'm not going to give a lot of credibility to people who wanted to take issue with that because that's just a medical fact. But I feel like that position being reminded from you and others is one that even now, a year later, can't be said enough because there's clearly people that don't know how the human body works and that not every pregnancy ends with that Norman Rockwell moment.
I think it's important to tell these stories, and that's why I put the tweet up. And it's just a very vague tweet. I essentially just said, I performed an abortion and saved someone's life. And this is the second weekend in a row that I have literally saved someone's life, someone who is suffering a complication of pregnancy, who would have died if we hadn't intervened. And I have an excellent team. And, you know, my patients ended up doing really well, which most of the time they do. But if we don't tell these stories, then we've got this myth that persists that pregnancy is magical and wonderful all the time. And the truth is, it can be, and it certainly is for many people at times, but it's also life-threatening. And the interventions that we offer, the things that we do to save people's lives can be really, really hard, but they're necessary.
If
we value women and families and communities and babies.
And it's not just the myth that every pregnancy is intentional and meant to be, and, you know, so easy. It's not that way, but equally so, there's so many people that think when they think abortion, they think it's a vending machine that they just, you know, I'd like a candy bar, or, oh, I'd like an abortion. So could I have that on demand, please, at 38 weeks? It never has worked that way. And what got us into this spot, Kristen, is perhaps not challenging enough that notion of what abortion really is, especially for women who want that pregnancy, but it goes wrong.
You're completely right. The only place that an elective abortion after viability really occurs is on conservative talk radio. I mean, when you hear them talking about abortion up until the time of birth, and sometimes even after, no, that's murder. And that is not something that happens. We have a code of ethics that we stand by. We have a commitment to our patients, and we see a variety of complicated things that people really don't know. And they don't want to know because it's so steeped in women's health and in all of those taboos that society doesn't allow us to have conversations about. So keep in mind, if you hear about somebody who has a complicated pregnancy, there are lots of things that can happen that are not only very medically challenging, but also very difficult for people to talk about.
And unfortunately, in far too many instances, the education comes later, that somebody has a position and it's their position until they actually have to go through something, or somebody they know right. has to go through something. I always think of somebody particularly close to me who had these very staunch anti-abortion views until somebody very close to them had to induce labor with multiples and basically watch those babies die, because otherwise she would have died. And it's heartbreaking mm-hmm. as hell, but that's reality. That's the reality of the human body and why you need doctors rather than politicians in that room.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Pat.
Nobody knows.
Nobody walks in your shoes, but you, and nobody can make your medical decisions except for you.
Well, unless you are, a state legislator from, the suburbs, you've got Representative Chuck Wickers, I think it is, from Muskego. Look, I know that when there were discussions about, the Dobbs decision and women's reproductive health care rights on the floor of the assembly recently, I saw tweets from some of the women on the Democratic side who just spoke in general terms about they can't believe the crazy stuff they're hearing from the other side. They really should put out more of the audio like that. There was a Chicago public radio station that did collect audio from people like Representative Wickers. And look, this is a 2-minute clip. So Aaron's just going to stop and start. He's going to keep our mics open. And Kristen, you or I can say stop at any time. And we'll just try to straighten out either what the assemblyman is saying or make it clear that nobody can understand what this assemblyman is saying. Here's Representative Wickers.
Some of the religious leaders said that historically, back when the pill was being developed, that there were comments of predictions of social behaviors that might exist, and they learned that from other societies in real time when they made these comments, and they said that it opens up the door to marital infidelity, and it
stop,
did.
Stop,
stop, stop.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that there was marital infidelity before contraception.
Wait.
Yeah. I know.
Remember, the pill's only been around since the 60s. So yes. Keep that in mind.
Well, but again, in their view, before the 60s, every marriage was happy. Every marriage stayed together, mm-hmm. For 50 years. Every pregnancy was planned. There was not a single woman who said, "Why, God, why?" as they were pregnant for the mm-hmm. 6th, 7th, and 8th time. Contraception was a game changer in much more of a positive way than a negative way to women's lives, unless you're Representative mm-hmm. Wickers and others, of course. Let's continue again as he's speaking about access to contraception. Stop. I forgot after he made that ridiculous comment about contraceptives and marital infidelity, some of the women laughed out loud at him, and you can hear. So now he's going to react to the laughter, and his reaction is again laughable. Here we go.
You can laugh and mock, but you're laughing and mocking not me, but the people.
All comments will be to the speaker.
The government might force contraceptives upon married couples. That's happened in other countries.
Stop. As I'm not aware of any.
They were laughing at him.
Yes. Yeah. He's going on now to say the government is going to force contraceptives on people. So go ahead, Chuck.
Mm-hmm. Trees, and So the government gets to have a role. They get to play supreme ruler. It increases
the
loss of...
Stop. I'm thinking the government having a role in the room is what we have now with the Dobbs decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Respect for women, that men get to do whatever they want, and then women have to be able to control the natural reproductive course of the body.
We missed the part about the respect for women piece.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Let's see. I have this here. Let's see. It opens up. I've got it here. Hold on. Maybe I don't have it. Aaron, do you have it? Here. It increases disrespect by men toward women who have to control the natural reproductive course of the body. We're suddenly concerned about men disrespecting women in this way.
In this way, yes. That if they know somehow, I don't know, do they smell it in the air that, oh, that woman's on the pill. I can disrespect her and it's up to her to control the natural course of pregnancy. All right, continue, Dr. Wickers.
Nature has an intention, and when you have that act, a pregnancy naturally occurs. That's nature doing what nature does.
Stop.
And then...
Stop. Pregnancy...
I think that's intercourse that he's talking about.
Yes, that is...
That act.
Yes. And, yeah, intercourse is the natural act. The pregnancy, again, long before the pill, there were people that were, you know, doing various things in terms of... Well, it was at sheepskin and other ways to have barriers and things. So yeah, getting in the way of the natural part of a pregnancy, again, didn't begin with contraceptives. Go ahead, Representative Wickers.
The woman has to counter nature by taking something that is highly systemic and highly invasive, according to the documents in the books that people that are pro the pill.
I'm going to pause for a second.
Go ahead, Aaron.
What does highly systemic mean when you're talking about a medication?
We don't know. That's why I didn't say stop after systemic, because I don't think that was the word he wanted to use there. It doesn't. But again, if you throw out some big words occasionally and say, well, these were in the books, that must be true. But nothing about what he just said there. Well, I was going to say it's not true. It doesn't make any sense. So I can't even respond.
Well, wait a minute. The documents and the books that people that are pro the pill stated in their books, that would maybe he's referring to science and evidence and doctors and medical professionals.
It's possible. But I mean, since when is he going to start listening to scientists? All right, go ahead, Representative.
Stated in their books. That's a science. We would begin to see ourselves as the ultimate masters of nature. So when nature does something it's supposed to do, and then we say, let's not do that. And we're talking not about, you know, getting a pimple if you eat Doritos and drink chocolate or eat chocolate. That would be contrary to a health.
Stop.
So if you get a pimple, you could use birth control to help prevent acne. The pill can do that. I just wanted to add that, like, as an aside.
That's good. But I also wanted to add his part about, you know, doing things that go against nature. Representative Wickers, did you put a roof over your head? Because by your definition, you shouldn't do anything that goes against nature means if it rains, you should get wet. You know, have you never, are you against, I don't know, building dams? Are you against hiding in the basement during a tornado?
And it looks like he's wearing glasses, too.
Oh, you're right. He's wearing glasses. What are you doing going against nature?
He shouldn't be allowed to see, I guess.
Yes. Take those glasses off.
What about chemotherapy for treating cancer?
Chemotherapy.
Or antibiotics for treating...
Yep.
Yeah, infections.
Well, they don't believe in vaccines, so can we get rid of everything in the medicine chest at the Wickers household, please? All right. Is there anything else? Let's see if he's got a big finish here.
Movement or nature. That doesn't improve your health. It makes you... less healthy, and there's side effects. In real time, our nation is having some of the same things with a proliferation of STDs as a result of going into I don't have to worry about pregnancy. So, you know, men don't have to worry. Women don't have to worry about pregnancy. So
And that's where the clip ends. So apparently contraceptives are responsible for STDs, not sex, not being careful.
They use the same argument to encourage people not to get vaccinated against HPV, which is a virus that causes cancer. Mm-hmm. So it's just a fear tactic, obviously.
Well, all of it is. And if you just say it's science, apparently that's good enough. And again, all of this is not, I was going to say, it's not to mock the assembly rep. No, of course it is. It deserves mockery. But we hope we did it in a way that gets people more curious about the science and the benefits of science. That benefits of science have been good to us for forever. And
yes,
this is another one of them.
Yes, and I would love to sit down with the representative. I'll bring the Doritos and the chocolate and talk about basic science.
There you go. All right, today's history lesson and music break up next. You're up north. It was on this day in 1870 at the National Theater in Munich that Wagner's opera Die Walküre was performed for the first time, including the famous piece The Ride of the Valkyries, which for those of us of a certain age will always bring back the old SCTV skit. How many of you just now were singing Vikings and Beekeepers, Vikings and Beekeepers? No, nobody on this program apparently except me, but trust me, a couple people almost drove off the road hearing that skit brought back.
No, for me, it's more like, this is one of the reasons I play trombone.
Oh, very nice. Good. Thanks for saving that bit. Appreciate it. A lot of birthdays today. We'll start with Billy Davis Jr., who's 85. He, of course, did The Fifth Dimension and then singing a duet with his wife, Marilyn McHugh. I didn't cue this up right because you would have heard Billy Davis Jr. But while he plays in the background here, we'll tell you that Isaac is 67 years old today. We already heard about Terry Nunn from Berlin is 62. Scandal's Patti Smyth is 66. Here's Billy Davis now. Baby, come as you are with just your heart, and I'll take you in. Actor Sean Hayes from Will and Grace, and he just won a Tony Award as well, is 53 today. Oh, it was a busy day on this day in 1970. All born on the same day. Sean Hayes is 53 today. Chris O'Donnell is 53. Nick Offerman is 53. A lot of talented babies born on June 26, 1970.
I would not have thought that they were all the same age.
No, isn't it funny when people are the same age that way? And trust me, I'm really going to be playing that game next week, because a week from today is my birthday. And I look at the people on the one hand, actually, I'm going to mention this now. Lenny Kravitz, same age. I don't look so good in comparison, but but Boris Johnson, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, again, we are all within days of each other. So yeah, anytime we do birthdays like this, I always think, well, I'm no Lenny Kravitz, but I'm no Boris Johnson. So
there's a hair theme happening here. You, Lenny, Boris.
Yeah, that's why I keep these headphones on. I can't have this hair blown all over the place. Singers, we mentioned Gretchen Wilson is 50. Here's another milestone birthday for singers. Ariana Grande turns 30 today. We had another singer or actress just turn 30, and it's like, well, there go the good times. Look how old they're getting. They've reached the big 30. Remember when we thought 30 was old? Those were good times. Derek Jeter is 49, former Yankee great, and still, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest baseball highlights ever was Jeter making a flip in the playoffs on the run to get a runner out at home. Just such a good play. Just look up Derek Jeter, the flip. And tell me I'm wrong, because you can't. The number one song this day in 1965 was by the Byrds. This is a Bob Dylan song.
It is.
It is, by the way, the only song written by Bob Dylan to ever hit number one on the pop charts. Also on this day in history, Elvis performed his final concert in Indianapolis this day in 1977. Pearl Jam had their biggest hit when Last Kiss, a cover of a 1960s song, got to number 2 on the charts. This is National Barcode Day. It marks the first time in 1974 when a barcode on a pack of Wrigley's chewing gum was scanned at a supermarket in Troy, Ohio. And then finally, again, we've talked about various times where young women had like this milestone day. Debbie Gibson had one of those in 1988. Despite missing 75 days of her senior year so that she could tour, she graduated on this day from her school in Long Island. The previous day, how's this for a graduation present? Her song, Foolish Beat, became the number one song in the United States. So how was your senior year in high school? Did you have a number one song? I don't think so.
I just enjoyed Debbie Gibson's number one song.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about Debbie Gibson and Tiffany in the past week. It's a bingo card that we're gonna cross off. Okay, before the hour wraps up, Kristen, we do have to talk about all the missed opportunities. The state budget will probably be passed by the Republican-controlled legislature this week, and it's simply worth noting now that we know officially what we've always thought all along, that Republicans were going to squander the surplus on a tax cut geared toward the super wealthy. It's worth noting that it was just about 2 months ago that Republicans stripped out more than 500 items from what Governor Tony Evers had proposed from the budget. And while we're talking about tax cut for the rich, I'm going to start with that one. Governor Evers also proposed a tax cut, 10% for all individuals earning $100,000 or less. Married filers making $150,000 or less, they would have received a 10% tax cut. Instead, under the Republican plan, every millionaire every year gets an extra $30,000 put in their pocket that won't be used for schools, broadband, and everything else. Just an amazing loss. We're going to talk about the loss of childcare counts, affordable childcare, in our next hour. But then, of course, Kristen, there's the lack of, they zeroed out paid family leave and Medicaid expansion. What a difference that would have made to your patients.
I don't know that people really connect the dots very easily, that we recognize that healthcare isn't just about getting that test or getting that pill, but it's about all of those upstream things like education and access to healthy food and childcare, all of those other things that really make our lives more full and allow us to live healthier lives. Those things matter.
And by the way, speaking of meals and things, the governor had put in no-cost school lunches so that there wouldn't be the shame and stigma of lunches. Republicans took that out. $270 million for additional mental health workers in schools. Broadband expansion. Republicans, they made it $0, the state investment. They said, oh, you know, Biden's bringing some dollars in. So in their mind, that's money that they can take away and again, give to the millionaires and billionaires of Wisconsin. Raising the minimum wage, the amount of minimum wage increase will be $0 yet again. And then there were things like implementing automatic voter registration so that people could more easily be registered to vote and vote. Marijuana legalization was taken out. Universal background checks and red flag laws. Gun safety for law enforcement and the rest of us. Kristen, just a lot of zeros in there, a lot of missed opportunity.
Pat, what happens to these things that were taken out? Can they be put back?
Theoretically, they could be put back. And we're going to talk about that in the next hour on two different fronts, public education and the Child Care Counts program. When these things come to the floor of the Assembly and Senate, they could be put back in. There will be debates about them, but probably won't. And honestly, Republicans will say that there were just too many zeros in the governor's plan. It spends too much. But frankly, the problem is, you know, there were too many zeros where it really counts. Kristen, thanks for visiting, wrapping up your weekend with us. Safe travels. We'll talk to you for Hometown Health on Thursday.
Thanks for reminding me about all the zeros in our legislature, Pat.
There you go.
Wah, wah.
We'll be back. You're up north.